Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Deputies in Granville County are investigating several attacks in different locations. We have live team coverage of what we've learned.
Plus, the deal is off. Russia says the Black Sea grain deal with Ukraine is off. Why some say the Kremlin is weaponizing hunger.
Also, we hear from the mother of a nursing student who vanished along an interstate highway in Alabama and after 48 hours returned. The questions surrounding what happened to Carly Russell. We begin with breaking news this noon out of Oxford. Law enforcement officers are investigating numerous assaults. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We have been following these breaking developments on this story since 10 a.m. We were told there were at least three separate stabbings.
Sky 5 flew over this McDonald's where one of those attacks happened. And we have team coverage for you out of Granville County. Eric Miller standing by at the administration building right now. Eric.
Well, Jeff, so many of these details still coming in. We've heard of at least three different stabbings at this point, one at a McDonald's, one at a Walmart, and one right here. This is the Granville County Administration Building off of Bell Street. This stabbing here happening right around 8:30 this morning. Now, we've not heard of any fatalities at this point. Thankfully, all these victims rushed to the hospital. But we do know after these stabbings took place, a multi-agency chase played out on I-85. Both southbound and northbound, multiple agencies involved there. That chase reaching speeds of 75 to 80 miles per hour. We know the suspect in this case was taken into custody. That person's name has not been released so far, though they were not injured when they were taken into custody. For folks here at the Granville County Administration Building, certainly some scary moments this morning. We're told the person assaulted here was an employee. They were on their way into work, coming out of their car, getting ready to go in the building when all this happened. Thankfully, the county administrator here, he says that employee is okay. Take a listen.
Believe he's stable. He's at the hospital right now being assessed, and so we're trying to keep in close tabs with the folks who are there at the hospital with him and making sure that he's all right.
Again, so many parts of this story coming in right now. We're working to confirm them. We do know that the administration building here, it was closed for a period of time while police were out here investigating. That building has reopened. They are now back open for business. So many parts of this story we're staying on top of. We'll bring you answers as soon as we get them. Back to you.
All right. Eric Miller live in Granville County, and we'll be following this story all throughout our hour. We'll get another update at 12:30. Fayetteville police, meantime, have now identified a woman who was found shot to death at a gas station on Bragg Boulevard. She wasn't the only one hit. WRAL's Laura Levine was at the scene and tells us officers were there since before 1:30 this morning.
Fayetteville police have identified the name of the victim as 19-year-old Danielle Gocher from Hope Mills. This is where it all played out here behind me. Police say Gocher was shot and killed in this parking lot of the Valero gas station on Bragg Boulevard. Take a look at this video where you can really see the large police response as investigators collected evidence and the entire area was blocked off. Police say they got the shots fired call on Bragg Boulevard around 1:30 this morning. When they arrived, they found her suffering from gunshot wounds. She died at the scene. Another victim showed up at a nearby hospital. He has non-life-threatening injuries from the shooting. In this video, you can also see officers surrounding a car on the scene. That car was later towed away. At this time, it's unclear what that car's involvement is in this case or if the two were inside the car when this happened. We are also working to learn what led up to the shooting or if police have any suspects in custody. Police say this does not appear to be a random shooting. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Fayetteville.
Duke Energy is working to restore power to a neighborhood after a huge tree crashed onto the street and several cars. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker got this video of the scene in Raleigh on Fiesta Way. That's just off Falls of Neuse Road. We're told at least 9 homes lost power. No word on any injuries or what caused the tree to fall. A 36-year-old woman is charged with a crash that damaged a Raleigh tavern. Police charged Catherine Davis with driving while impaired and damaging property. Officers say she crashed her SUV into My Way Tavern on St. Mary Street Sunday evening. No one was hurt.
A 75-year-old man is charged with murder following a stabbing at an apartment complex in southeast Raleigh. Officers and forensic teams spent hours on Laodicea Drive her searching for clues in this case. WRO's Kelsey Coffey tells us what she learned about the victim and the man charged in the crime.
Police have arrested and charged 75-year-old Ralph Pope Jr. for stabbing and killing a woman here at this apartment complex on Laodicea Drive. Police have been going in and out of this particular apartment all night and into the morning. Police say the victim, Wanda Anderson, and the suspect, Pope, were involved in an altercation where Pope stabbed and killed Anderson. Pope has been taken into custody and is charged with murder. This is still an ongoing investigation. We still have some unanswered questions like how these two are connected and what could be the potential motive. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Was it an enemy attack or a false flag operation? More explosions on the main bridge linking Russia and Crimea have both sides pointing fingers. Alex Hogan reports.
Another setback for Russian troops in southern Ukraine. The main bridge from Russia to the occupied Crimean Peninsula is now closed to traffic after major explosions went off before dawn on Monday. Two civilians were reportedly killed and a child injured. It's not clear exactly what caused the explosions. Russia blames Ukraine, while the Ukrainians claim it's a Russian provocation.
As a result of the incident, traffic on the Crimean Bridge was stopped. The reasons are being clarified. The information will be published on official sources.
The incident comes just hours after Russian President Vladimir Putin issued an ominous new warning to the Ukrainian military. Ukrainian officials said late last week they received the first rounds of cluster munitions from the U.S. And Putin says if they're used, the Russians will follow suit.
The Russian Federation has a sufficient stockpile of various types of cluster munitions. Until now, we have not used it, but of course, if they are used against us, we reserve the right to take reciprocal actions.
Meanwhile, Russia officially canceled a deal allowing the safe export of much-needed Ukrainian grain through the blockaded Black Sea. Moscow says it needs to set up its own food and fertilizer exports, prompting sharp criticism from world leaders.
They have to blame Russia for this decision, completely unjustified. Weaponizing the hunger of the people.
That was Alex Hogan reporting. U.S. Aid Chief Samantha Power is in Kyiv today to announce a humanitarian aid package worth more than $500 million.
Kerry-based SAS is disputing stories that a new round of layoffs are in the works. As a matter of fact, the company spokesman says the company continues to hire in some areas of operations, and employees are given opportunities to apply for open positions if their current roles might be eliminated. More than 150 open jobs are currently listed at the SAS Jobs website. SAS recently announced plans to increase investment in artificial intelligence.
Durham biotech Novan is filing for bankruptcy. This morning, the company announced it struck a deal to sell most of its assets for $15 million. A month ago, the struggling company that develops therapies for skin diseases cut half its workforce. Novan plans to continue to work with the FDA on approval of a gel designed to treat viral skin conditions. You can read more about Novan and SAS on WRAL TechWire. Now, if you forgot to file your taxes during the early days of the COVID pandemic in 2020, today's your last day. Nearly 1.5 million taxpayers may still be eligible for a tax refund from tax year 2019. You see, by law, taxpayers normally have 3 years to file and claim their tax refunds. The original tax day in 2020 was delayed by 90 days, so the usual three-year window has also been pushed back to July 17th. The 2019 return must be filed on paper rather than electronically, and it has to be postmarked by today.
We're working this afternoon to learn more about a spectacular rescue in Granville County. Firefighters saved a donkey that fell into a sinkhole. WRL's Brian Schrader has pictures we need to see to believe, Brian.
Jeff, this all started Sunday morning, and the Wake Forest Fire Department shared these pictures. Take a look. Dora the donkey fell into a six-foot-deep sinkhole. Wake Forest first responders say they joined Animal Control, the Brassfield Volunteer Fire Department, and a Raleigh Urban Search and Rescue team. And the team from Raleigh had a pulley system to help lift Dora out of that sinkhole. One of the rescuers tells me that everyone pitched in to help.
We always utilize mutual aid for house fires and stuff and car accidents, but this was definitely one for the books.
I'll say, good news here, though. Dora has a couple of scrapes, but it looks like she is going to be okay. A veterinarian on site was able to give her some tranquilizers to help with that rescue. And Ms. Hockaday says it looks like recent heavy rain may have contributed to the formation of that sinkhole. She says that she's been involved in the past in the rescue of a dog from a ditch pipe, but nothing like this.
And Dora with some unwanted exploring there. Brian, thank you.
Teamwork, though. Next at noon, strange circumstances regarding a woman in Alabama who disappeared, then reappeared 48 hours later. Hear from her mother about the incident.
Also, today was a test run for the Paris Olympics opening ceremony, the most unique aspect of next year's Summer Games.
Plus, we take you back out to Oxford and the scenes of several stabbings. A person has been arrested. Authorities tell us there is no further threat to that community. Stay with us as we continue to track this breaking story. Elizabeth.
And you've probably noticed all the haze in the atmosphere right now. We're looking at the hazy conditions outside currently, and we'll take a look at what is causing that and how long it sticks around coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Turning out of some growing questions surrounding the disappearance of a young woman in Alabama. Carly Russell vanished after calling 911 to report a toddler walking on an interstate highway. Then, after more than 48 hours missing, she suddenly returned home to her family. Priscilla Thompson spoke with Carly's mother and shares new information.
I'm so thankful that Carly is home safe. So thankful.
This morning, the search for Carly Russell is over. The missing 25-year-old nursing student returned to her family home Saturday night. Police say she arrived alone and on foot. Angela Harris helped lead the community search for her.
You spoke to this family moments after Carly came home.
Right.
What did they say?
It was just kind of like a very emotional phone call. I just broke down and I said, is she okay? And she said, I don't know, she seems to be okay. She just seems to be in shock.
Officials say Russell was taken to the hospital for evaluation and has since been released. Her safe return, putting an end to a days-long search that began Thursday night with a puzzling 911 call. Police say Russell told an emergency operator she saw a toddler walking alone on an interstate.
459 South, mile marker 10, going to be a child walking on the 3-4-year-old child walking on the side of the interstate.
It's believed she then stopped to check on the child and was on the phone with a family member when she disappeared.
She heard a scream and then some type of running type shuffle.
Russell's parents horrified.
I just felt immediately that she was in danger.
Video from the interstate where Russell vanished shows a car driving slowly with its flashers on.
Just be advised, her vehicle is unlocked, running. All her personal belongings, except for her phone.
Police say when they arrived, they found Russell's car, her cell phone and purse, on the road nearby. But there were no signs of Russell or a child. An urgent search ensued, both on the ground and on social media.
I need everyone to stop and pay attention.
Where her disappearance quickly went viral. Celebrities including Wanda Sykes, Viola Davis, and Octavia Spencer spreading the word. Still, questions remain about where Russell was for those 48 hours and who she was with. A man identifying himself as Russell's boyfriend writing on social media, she was literally fighting for her life for 48 hours and that she is not able to give any updates or whereabouts on her kidnapper. The police chief telling NBC News in a phone call they've spoken to Russell and are following up on the information she provided.
That was Priscilla Thompson reporting, and police say a witness reported seeing a man standing beside Russell's vehicle just before officers arrived at that scene.
Elton John and his husband, David Furnish, testified today as defense witnesses in the trial of actor Kevin Spacey. The singer told the court he remembered Spacey placing the winning bid on a Mini Cooper car in an auction at the event at his home. Elton John said Spacey stayed at his house that night, but that he does not remember whether or not the actor visited his house after that event. Spacey has pleaded not guilty to 12 charges relating to incidents that prosecutors say occurred from 2001 to 2013. A prisoner who spent more than a week on the run is back in custody. This is the new mugshot for Michael Burnham. He was arrested Saturday in Pennsylvania after escaping from jail. He's a suspect in the killing of a woman in New York and is accused of abducting an older couple in Pennsylvania. Burnham used a rope made from bed sheets to escape from jail on July 6th. He was on the run for 10 days.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, travel headaches continue after this past weekend's crazy weather. We are checking RDU's stats right now. 43 delays right now at RDU and one cancellation. I did look at the Missouri map, and a lot of those delays and cancellations are coming from New York. Right now, 69 delayed there, 11 canceled there. Boston also seeing a lot of delays, 22 delayed and 2 canceled. Right now, there are 539 delays nationwide, so if you do have a flight, always a good idea to check it before you head out the door.
Tens of millions of Americans are under air quality alerts today, and that includes the entire state of New York. The air in some upstate communities is classified as unhealthy for all, according to the governor. Farther south, the air will be unhealthy for sensitive groups. The problem comes from smoke as wildfires continue to burn in Canada. Organizers in Paris conducted a test run today of the opening ceremony for the 2024 Olympic Games. Dozens of boats sailed from the Austerlitz Bridge to the foot of the Eiffel Tower, right along the Seine River. This will be the first time the opening ceremony for the Summer Games will be held outside a stadium. It's expected to draw at least 600,000 spectators. The lower part of the riverbank will be subject to ticketing, but there will be free access to the upper part of it. That'll be a unique scenario, not in a stadium along the banks of the Seine.
Be cool.
Our weather scenario is that we have hazy skies and just really humid air out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a look from our tall tower cam.
Yeah, this is out in eastern Wake County, and we're looking off to the west, and it looks a little bit like that picture we were just seeing from New York where the air quality is very poor. Now, our air quality isn't as bad as that. You know, we're sitting at about 2,000 feet looking down through the haze at this part of eastern Wake County. So it's not necessarily as bad as it looks on this camera, but we are definitely seeing some smoky haze from the wildfires in Canada. Right now it is 87 degrees and our dew point is 70, and we hit 70, we would consider that tropical. So it's feeling sticky out there. Our temperatures will be in the low 90s all the way through at least 7 o'clock. This is a look at the big picture air quality. You can see there are a few areas that are code red, and that means that it is unhealthy for all. And you can see that part of New York, the far northwestern corner, parts of Ohio, and then back across Kentucky, and spread out in some other places. We're looking at yellow right now. There's some orange back to our west, but we do have the potential for orange air quality just to our west, say around the Triad. That's the forecast there. But our forecast is for yellow and even some green. And yellow is something that we tend to see almost every day in the summer when it's hot and humid. So yellow is not anything unusual. It's one step up from good. It's not hazardous. So just keep that in mind. It does look a little hazy out there. Some of that's due to the heat. And some of that's due to some smoke from Canadian wildfires. But we're sitting at yellow and our forecast is yellow. Hot out there, though, feels like 97 in Clinton, feels like 93 in Goldsboro, 91 Raleigh, 93 in Fayetteville. The number on the left is the actual temperature, and the number on the right is the heat index. So we're going to see that heat index climbing, you know, all the way up probably into the upper 90s this afternoon. And again, we're going to hold it in the 90s all the way until 8 o'clock. If you're headed out to Dix Park to see the sunflowers in the next few days, we're not really going to get a break from the heat potentially until the weekend. And they have some fun events planned there around the sunflowers over the weekend. So take a look at the Dix Park website. But if you are headed there at this point, I would plan to go fairly late in the evening, close to sunset. Be a fun place to be. We're sitting right now at 70 in terms of our dew point. We're going to see that increasing. You take a look at today and you can see the light green shaded area. By Wednesday and Thursday, notice how it turns dark. That's going to be even more moisture in the atmosphere. That's going to bring up our heat index. So for today, around 97 this afternoon, 102 Tuesday, 101 Wednesday, but 106 on Thursday. And that is the level at which we may end up seeing a heat advisory. In July so far, we've had 13 days at 90 degrees or hotter, and the average is 15. So we're going to blow right past that. So far, we've only had 3 days in the 80s. And you probably remember last Friday, we had that 88 degrees, and it was cool because we had so much rain and flooding, cloudy skies all day. So 95 Tuesday, 94 Wednesday, 95 Thursday. Those are the days that we'll have the highest heat index. And then we cool off a little bit for Saturday and Sunday. Coming up, we're going to talk about our wettest days this week and why we're seeing a pattern change for the weekend.
Elizabeth, thanks. An attorney shortage in North Carolina courts is costing you money. Tonight at 6, what happens when the court runs out of lawyers? WRAL Investigates uncovers a staffing shortage with widespread consequences. Sarah Kruger explains how a solution may be in the hands of lawmakers.
Plus, it's a big month for sales, and coming up tonight at 5:30, 5 on Your Side's Keely Arthur breaks down the best buys for July and where you will find the best deals. Plus, still ahead this noon, Mission Impossible 7 cruises to the top spot of the box office. Find out how the other releases fared.
Plus, it's a crime on the rise, VIN cloning, what it is and how you can protect yourself. Welcome back. You're looking live at the Legislative Building in downtown Raleigh. It's going to be another hot and humid afternoon. The high 93. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Mission Impossible grabs the top spot at the weekend box office, and United's pilots are in for big pay hikes. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
United and its pilots have reached a preliminary deal on a new contract, and it calls for raises of as much as 40% over 4 years. It's the latest labor contract for airlines as they deal with a boom in business and a shortage of pilots. Both Delta and American recently agreed to new contracts, giving similar big pay hikes to pilots. United's deal also gives pilots more control over their schedules. The agreement still needs to be voted on and finalized. The FTC lost its latest effort to stop Microsoft's deal to buy video game maker Activision Blizzard. An appeals court rejected the FTC's request for a court order blocking the merger late Friday. The ruling clears the way for the roughly $69 billion deal to close. The companies have been trying to complete the merger by tomorrow. The FTC first sued to block the deal in December, saying it was anti-competitive. Tom Cruise's latest Mission Impossible was number one at the box office on its opening weekend. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 took in $56.2 million over the 3 days, according to ComScore, but the movie came in slightly below expectations, and it also trailed the openings of other recent big movies like Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, and the latest Indiana Jones. The box office is expected to get a big boost this week with the release of Barbie and Oppenheimer. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Couples should purchase wedding insurance to help pay for potential wedding problems and mishaps. The average cost of a wedding last year was $30,000. Wedding insurance can be useful to help brides and grooms protect themselves from unexpected events. Weddings can be covered against circumstances such as vendors who don't show or weather issues and damaged attire. One thing insurers will not cover if either party changes their mind to marry.
NBA is working on a plan that'll give basketball fans a new way to experience their favorite teams in action. The league is collaborating with Apple and its Vision Pro headsets. The devices are expected to hit the market next year at a cost of nearly $3,500. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says several tech and media companies have expressed interest in premium live sports. There's a new work pattern surfacing at offices across the country. A new report reveals the time frame between 4 and 6 p.m. is becoming a so-called dead work zone period. That's when workers zone out and their focus shifts to other tasks. Workers reportedly accomplish very little work during that time or attend meetings. More flexible work rules and hybrid schedules are shifting employee duties to family activities, gym workouts, or just beating traffic home.
Granville County deputies are investigating several stabbings in a short time span. We have team coverage on what we've learned in the last 30 minutes.
Plus, a look at your winning North Carolina lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We want to get an update now on our breaking news out of Oxford. Law enforcement officers are investigating several stabbings.
And we've been following this breaking development on this story since 10 a.m., and we were told there were at least three separate stabbings.
Sky 5 flew over a McDonald's where one of the attacks happened. We have team coverage from Granville County. Eric Miller is standing by at the administration building. We begin with Destiny Patterson, who just spoke with the Granville County Sheriff. Destiny.
Well, Oxford PD is the lead agency on this investigation, but Granville County Sheriff's Office stepped in to help catch that suspect. It was about an hour and a half from that first stabbing to his arrest. We know that there were four different victims at least four different locations. We're told that it was also at the county office as well as the Board of Elections office right near there, a McDonald's and a Walmart. When they tried to stop the suspect, it turned into a multi-agency chase. It all started around 7:30 this morning, and that suspect was caught right around 9 o'clock.
Like I said, sometimes mental health may play a part in it. And that's what we're going to do, is look at it from that perspective as well.
Now, we don't have a clear grasp on what the motive is in this case. We're still working to learn the conditions of those victims as well as the identity of that suspect.
All right, Destiny Patterson, live for us in Granville County. Thanks for that. Now we're going to get over to Eric Miller, who is at the Granville County Administration Building. Eric, what can you tell us from that location?
Well, Jeff here, county administrators there, not saying anything about what led up to this stabbing, but we know it happened first thing this morning as employees were coming in here for work at the administration building. Take a look at some of this video. You can get a closer look here. We're told that employee is in the hospital, is stable right now, surrounded by families. The folks here at the office say they do offer their thoughts and prayers here and have been checking in to make sure that that employee is going to be okay. Take a listen to the county administrator here describe exactly what happened this morning.
So people were really just arriving here at the offices this morning, and one of our employees was assaulted as he got out of his car and was bringing things into the office, and that's what happened.
Now, the offices were closed here while police, sheriff's deputies were out here investigating. These offices have since reopened, and we do just want to reiterate this suspect is in custody. That person is believed to have acted alone, and there is no ongoing threat to the community here in Oxford. Back to you.
All right, Eric, I know you continue to follow this and stay with us for updates all throughout the afternoon on air and online.
Friends and family are preparing to say their final goodbyes to 5-year-old Chloe Fennell. She was shot and killed a week and a half ago by her mother's first cousin. WRL's Ken Smith is here now with how the family plans to honor her young life. Ken.
You know, Chloe died the day after the 4th of July holiday, and at just 5 years old, it seemed like our community's collective heart was broken. We've only gotten to know this little girl with a bright smile in pictures. And in these photos, we see why her family will miss her dearly. Chloe died, and her cousin Destiny Skidberry was critically injured when Brian Luster, a family relative, opened fire in their home. Chloe's mother allowed Luster to live with the family while he got clean from a drug addiction. In the obituary of her young life, the first line refers to Jesus loving the little children of the world and only taking the very best. Chloe's funeral is planned for this Friday, July 21st. The service will follow a visitation at Emmanuel Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church on South Alston Avenue in Durham. The visitation is at 1 p.m. The service is scheduled to start at 2 p.m. again this Friday. Well, Destiny Skidberry still recovering from her injuries. Brian Luster remains in jail with no bond. His next scheduled court date is July 27th. Renee.
Ken, thanks for that update.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Johnston, Orange, and Cumberland counties. People in Johnston County who are on kidney dialysis machines need to know about a change to the county's water supply. That's because today the county will be changing the disinfectant in the water from chlorine to chloramines, a combination of chlorine and ammonia. Officials say if you use a dialysis machine, you should talk to your doctor about this. The water may also be toxic to some fish, so those of you with fish tanks should be aware and use additional treatment if necessary. In less than 30 minutes, Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools will hold a special meeting. Members may discuss a problem hitting school districts across the country. Some teachers say they can only afford school supplies for classrooms through crowdfunding. The meeting takes place today at 1 p.m., and we'll let you know what happens out of that. Cumberland County Schools are looking to add more child nutrition workers. The school system will host a hiring event today through Thursday. It's looking to hire assistant managers and food service assistants. You can get an in-person interview today through Wednesday from 9 to noon each day at the main offices on Gillespie Street. You can also contact the school system to register for a virtual interview on Thursday.
Tonight, Novo Nordisk is looking to its next steps for expansion in Johnston County. The company bought more than 100 acres of land near Clayton for nearly $7 million. At their meeting tonight, Johnston County commissioners will consider a rezoning request to let the company operate on the land. Novo Nordisk is one of Johnston County's largest employers since beginning operations nearly three decades ago. Still to come on this newscast, car thieves are passing off stolen cars as legitimate. How they do it and how to protect yourself if you're in the market for a used car.
Plus, nothing ruins a cruise like norovirus. What you need to know about the surge in outbreaks if you're planning to vacation on the seas. There have been reports of people duplicating the VIN numbers on cars, those vehicle identification numbers, so that they can put a lien on your vehicle to get cash. NBC's Chase Golightly shares one woman's story.
Hillary Huntley's parents decided to sell their 2015 Chevy Silverado a few months ago to get some much-needed cash.
They've had medical bills. My mom was in the hospital recently. You know, they're just trying to shore up their end of things.
They put the truck on Facebook Marketplace and Auto Trader. In June, they had a buyer. But when her parents went to the MVD to transfer the title, they were told they couldn't because her dad actually owed money.
My dad said, no, we most certainly do not. I own this vehicle outright. And they said, no, really, this is, you know, there's a $12,000 lien.
A lien he never knew about.
He was shocked and he was very upset.
It turns out someone other than her father somehow got the truck's VIN number, then created fraudulent documents to get the truck into their name.
It was a fake bill of sale, a fake title.
Forging her dad's signature and getting the document notarized to make it look as legitimate as possible.
He had all of the right stuff.
The person then took this to a title loan company, putting a lien on the truck they never owned and getting $4,000 in cash. The loan went into default, leading to a repo notice being put on the truck. However, they were never able to find it because the person never had it.
What worries me is that it could just happen to anyone. And you don't know.
12 News obtained the documents. It gives the suspect's license, pay stubs, and references. We are not revealing that person's name since they haven't been charged with any crime in this case.
The number you are trying to call is not reachable.
But we did call their number provided to the loan company. It was disconnected. We also called the four references they provided. Two numbers were disconnected, and one did answer, but they told us they were not the person whose name was listed. Huntley's parents are now in talks with ADOT's fraud department, but says they are still waiting for someone to help them investigate the situation. Meaning for now, they just have to sit and wait.
That title is still sitting there with a lien against it, and my folks are stuck.
That is worrisome. That was Chase Golightly reporting. And over the years, states have been centralizing their DMV registration information. That's a system that links state DMVs all throughout the U.S. That way, a stolen VIN in one state can't be registered in another.
Studies are underway to determine whether psychedelic drugs can help certain medical conditions. After the break, the new guidance from the FDA that experts hope will prevent misuse. Plus,
I've never gotten sick during the summer, so I was like, what's going on?
It's being called the summer of the sniffles. We examine what's behind the uptick in cases of the common cold during the hottest time of year.
Welcome back this noon. The FDA is providing guidelines for collecting data and conducting trials involving psychedelics. Researchers have been exploring the use of psychedelics to treat certain medical conditions, including psychiatric and substance abuse disorders. The FDA says trials need to consider the unique characteristics of these drugs. It also highlights potential risks for mood changes and hallucinations when experimenting with them. Norovirus has returned to cruise ship voyages in significant numbers this year. According to the CDC, the norovirus is infecting more travelers on cruise ships this year compared to previous years. The virus causes vomiting and diarrhea. The CDC says there have been 13 outbreaks on cruises in 2023 so far, and about 1,700 people reporting getting sick.
Have you battled a cold recently? So have many others. Summer colds are on the rise at a rate we haven't seen in years. NBC's Dr. John Torres explains what's driving the increase.
The temperatures might be soaring, but for many Americans, that hasn't stopped the cold.
The common cold, that is.
It's the worst cold that I have gotten.
Across the country.
It started off with sneezing, then congestion.
It's been the summer of sniffles.
And just a lot of, runny nose, always keeping tissues next to me.
So the numbers you're seeing now, more than during the pandemic.
More than during the pandemic, absolutely.
Dr. Larissa Pisney specializes in infectious diseases at the University of Colorado Hospital, UC Health.
We're hearing from actually a lot of people that I'm getting a summer cold. I haven't gotten it for the last 2 or 3 years. Are you seeing the same thing here, that numbers are going up?
So compared to the rates of positivity for things like rhinovirus, enterovirus, adenovirus, we are seeing increased numbers compared to prior years.
Those are some of the viruses that can cause the common cold. And if you look at the CDC chart, it shows how the adenovirus has peaked this summer nationwide.
Sick absolutely sucks, and I've been going through 1,000,001 tissues.
It was kind of weird to stay inside and have a cold and want to drink tea when it was 85 degrees outside.
So why are we seeing more colds now?
It's basically we are not masking, we're not hand washing as much.
Doctors believe those pandemic precautions so many took kept the cold at bay.
If you do have a cough or cold, make sure you hand wash. up to you if you would like to wear your mask or not.
And it's the same if you want to avoid a cold. Wash your hands frequently and even wear a mask in crowded spaces if you choose. Ways to avoid this now common summer bummer.
I've never gotten sick during the summer, so I was like, what's going on?
Dr. John Torres, NBC News, Aurora, Colorado.
So keep up with the hand washing because, yeah, you don't want to be spreading those germs.
That's a sanitary thing anyway, right? Just exactly. Do it. Yeah. I haven't had a summer cold in a while, but this is terrible when you get it in the summertime.
Oh, I know. Awful. Especially when it's just, but it's not like you want to go outside because it feels so hot and humid out there.
Yeah, there's no chance you may have a cold, but there's no chance you will be cold when you step outside. Right. Elizabeth Gardner, the WRL Severe Weather Center.
Yeah, around here, this is almost like our second winter. The weather is just not comfortable to be outside, almost like it is in the wintertime, but it won't be too much longer, about another month, and we'll start to get a more consistent break from some of the heat and humidity. It's a bit hazy out there right now. Definitely a hazy sunshine, though. You can see those shadows here right in front of our newsroom in Fayetteville. That sunshine is making it through the haze, and it's warming things up here in Apex and Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill there, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We have this high pressure system that's in control of our weather right now. That's going to keep thunderstorms from developing across our area, but we are likely to see a few of those along the coast, right along that sea breeze front. That's a pretty normal thing that we see during the summer almost every day. So we'll see that, but we're not going to see any of those thunderstorms making their way into our area just yet. That does begin to change tomorrow. We'll roll through the remainder of the day today, and you can see a few clouds that start to build, and there could be an isolated shower, but for the most part, it's going to be a dry one for us. Tomorrow morning, we'll wake up to more sunshine, but it may be a bit hazy like it is today. There's lunchtime, and then late in the afternoon, one or two of these cells start to pop up. There's 5 o'clock Tuesday, and then into the evening, maybe a few more of those once we get past sunset with a little disturbance rolling through. And then Wednesday, here's lunchtime on Wednesday in the afternoon, 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We have some of those showers and storms developing. So it's a 30% chance for Tuesday and Wednesday. We had all of that rain on Friday. So, the gardens, the lawns, we're all happy, I think, for the most part with all that rain. Things are probably still pretty good. But once we get toward the end of the week, you might have to think about watering again, because the showers and thunderstorms that we see Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday will be isolated at best. Here's another look at Wednesday. You can see those late day storms popping up, lingering potentially into early Thursday. And then after that, it looks fairly quiet. We get into the day on Friday, and there's some showers to our east and to our west, but it looks like we may stay fairly dry. We're also going to get a little bit of a break from the heat over the weekend. You can see the dark colors here. That's where we're looking really hot. But over the weekend, we get a big trough in the jet stream that dips down. That allows some of that cooler air from Canada to move into our area. That'll drop our highs into the 80s. It's not going to be a big drop, but hopefully enough that you'll notice at least a little bit. Right out here is subtropical depression Dawn. And normally, once it becomes a depression, we don't necessarily worry about it too much anymore. But this storm may redevelop into a subtropical storm by late in the week and continue to wander around out here in the Atlantic. It's worth watching. At this point, it doesn't look like it's going to affect land, but on that trajectory, we'll keep our eye out. on it. 93 for today. Our heat index again will be in the upper 90s. We're looking at triple digit heat indices for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then that may back off a little on Friday. Saturday and Sunday, we'll see highs in the 80s. That's likely to continue into early next week before the heat returns by Wednesday or Thursday of the following week.
Thanks for that, Elizabeth. A Florida teen is doing his part to help clear the shelters. How his love for furry friends led to a mission to keep pets off the streets. We wrap things up this noon with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. We are learning more about a series of stabbings at several places in Oxford this morning, including county offices, a McDonald's, and a Walmart. Officials say four people were stabbed. They say when officers tried to stop that person, the situation turned into a multi-agency chase, high speeds. That suspect is now in custody, and we're asking officials who that person is and how the victims are doing.
Fayetteville police have now identified a woman who was found shot to death at a gas station on Bragg Boulevard. 19-year-old Danielle Golcher was killed in the parking lot. She wasn't the only one shot. A man showed up at a nearby hospital with non-life-threatening injuries from the shooting. Police said this does not appear to be random. It's unclear if anyone is in custody.
Cary-based SAS is disputing stories that a new round of layoffs are in the works. The company spokesman says the company actually continues to hire in some areas of operations, and employees are given opportunities to apply for open positions if their current roles might be eliminated. SAS recently announced plans to increase investment in artificial intelligence.
32 young track athletes need help getting to the AAU Junior Olympics. The games are in Des Moines, Iowa at the end of this month. The Carolina Track Hawks hosted a car wash and food sale Sunday afternoon. They were hoping to raise money to cover their travel expenses on the way to the games.
And a lot of these kids don't have any means to get to somewhere like Iowa, 17 hours away, and have never flown or anything else like that. So that is really why we are doing this today, so we can ask the community to help support us getting as many of these athletes over there as possible, because the Olympics, the Junior Olympics, is a huge deal.
It is a huge deal, and they would represent North Carolina. The organizers say this year's games will have over 14,000 participants.
A Florida boy's love for dogs motivated him to create a way for owners to find their furry friends if they get lost. The 15-year-old created Wags for Tags. He used a laser engraver to make temporary pet ID tags for dogs and cats who are waiting for adoption. The tags display donated by Wags for Tags on the back and front. It would name the charity or rescue's name and other information. Since January, he has given away 520 tags to 9 different rescue organizations across the state of Florida.
Our pets of the day come to us from Arth. Yes, we have two for you. These two sweet-natured boys named Kisses and Me Too are mustering up the confidence to meet you. They would benefit from a home with a securely fenced yard and a kind, calm, reassuring soul with lots of love and encouragement to rebuild their trust. Call ARF at 919-894-1111 to learn more about their incredible survival story and to meet them.
College tuition has increased almost 750% since 1963, and it's not slowing down. Coming up on our news at 4, we dig into why the price tag keeps rising and what the issue means for the future of higher education.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great Monday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.